You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Monday, February 9th, episode 3880, brought to you today by Worm Flooring. Happy hangover day and good morning, horse people. I didn't call in sick.
Oh, yeah, I noticed that. You called in sick on Friday, though. So was that?
I kind of did. So we'll get to that.
You couldn't do 2 days in a row. Otherwise, I think you probably would have. Hey, we're going to
totally worth it.
We'll find out. I promised everybody you'd talk about whatever it was today. So,
do you remember what I texted you when you said how'd it go?
No, it was one word, but I don't remember which word it was.
Disaster.
Okay, there you go. And that's how I knew we'd have good stories today, because I really didn't even know what you were doing. So we're going to talk goats today with Deb Neiman of the podcast For the Love of Goats. I met her at PodFest. I don't think we've ever talked about goats, and so many horse people have goats. We're also going to take a look at our favorite, least favorite commercials like we do every year after the Super Bowl. We don't talk about the game because we don't care about the game, but we care about the commercials.
Homer picked the winner. That's all I know.
I did. Congratulations. I saw that. Tell everybody what that is.
The Homer picking the winner?
Yeah.
Every year I put two cookies on two pieces of paper, and one says one team, one says the other, and he runs and picks the winner. Like, and he did it again. He's like nailing
it. And he had no hesitation this time, which one he went
to. No hesitation. Actually, what he did this year is he got smart and he ran to the actual winners. Who was it? The one?
Seahawks.
So he ran over to the Seahawks, grabbed that cookie, and then ran over to the Patriots and grabbed that cookie before I could do anything.
He had two cookies. Has he been right? 50-50 or?
So this is the third year, and the first year he was right. The second year, I actually accidentally forgot to hit record and he actually picked the right one. So we had to redo it. And then he picked the wrong one. So like, he actually really is 100% at this point, but it was my fault. And then he just started thinking about cookies.
Well, the Seahawks won as decisively as he picked their cookie, because
that's what I said. Yeah, he had no hesitation.
No, and they didn't either. Also, we're going to talk about some animal-related gadgets that were introduced at this year's CES, which is a consumer electronics show. It's one of the biggest shows in Vegas every year in January, where all the tech companies introduce their new stuff. Well, they got some silly stuff for animals. I thought we could have some fun with that. Plus, it's our monthly look at your equestrian first world problems. And then in the post-show, I thought we're going to talk a little TV, but I also thought we'd take a look at some of the weirdest gadgets, non-animal gadgets that were at CES. Yes, and we can make fun of those. But first, Super Bowl commercials. USA Today does a poll every year, Jamie, and the poll this year, the winner of the Super Bowl commercials was the Budweiser commercial.
The Budweiser horse one or the Bud Light one?
The horse one was the winner. And I got to tell you, I have more respect for that after I read all the articles about how they did some of the scenes weren't CGI. So I would put it up there, number one. I watched it with a whole different light when I knew that the whole horsey, you know, eagle thing wasn't CGI. I felt better about it.
It wasn't. Yeah. So cool. I love that commercial. I've watched it 5 times and I cry every time.
Well, it was number one. So let's take that out of the running, because obviously for us, it's going to win, right? So beside that one, did you have favorites?
I did. One I've watched a couple times now and it makes me cackle every single time. Like I laughed out loud multiple times. The Bud Light running down the hill when they're at a wedding and the keg falls down the hill.
You mean falling down
like
the hill?
The whole wheel of cheese thing and just people were getting creamed. And it was just, I laughed so hard. I loved that one. And the other one I loved with this was the Jurassic Park one. Did you see that one?
I love the Jurassic Park one. I thought that
was funny too. So they're showing like the scenes from Jurassic Park and basically all of the cages are opening and oh no, everything's going to happen. And then there's like some Xfinity guy, like he's like, you have to plug this in. And then everything fixes and nobody dies. Everybody's happy. I was like, this is great.
If that had actually happened in the first Jurassic Park, we wouldn't have had the sequels.
No, I know. Obviously, we thank God the Xfinity guy wasn't there. We'd have lost a lot of entertainment, but saved a lot of lives.
So I had to go with my good friend, you know, Lisa and I's good friend, William Shatner's commercial for Raisin Bran, because it's just so William Shatner. And by the way, he is like 93. He doesn't age.
I know.
The guy looks like he's in his 70s. I just thought that was funny. And I actually, when I watched it the first time, I didn't get all the innuendo. When I watched it the second time, you pick up all the innuendo, and it was brilliantly written. It was well done.
It was really good. And on a weird side note, at the end of when we turned off the Super Bowl, I can't believe you mentioned that commercial, because we actually, Lucas and I are at home alone, and we were like, let's watch an episode of The Twilight Zone. And it was the episode with him in it.
Oh, from like the 1950s?
Yes. And he was like a baby. Yeah. And it was he's in the airplane and he's seeing somebody on the wing. Oh my God. There's one point, and then I screamed out loud. And I was like, total jump scare. And it's Twilight Zone from like the 50s. It was so good though. So anyway, there's William Shatner. We watched, it was like his part of my day.
Well, I got to tell you there were two others I liked. One is, of course, everybody that knows and listens to the show for a long time knows that Jennifer and I love the Minions. Well, their new movie's coming out, and I thought the commercial was hilarious.
I didn't see that one.
What's it about? Minions and Monsters, and I can't wait to see that movie. We always go to the movie theater for that. We love the Minions. But the other one that I thought was brilliant from an advertising point of view was the Pepsi stealing the Coca-Cola Bears. Did you see that one?
I didn't. I heard about that one. I didn't join until like almost halftime, so I missed a bunch of them. But what was that one about?
Brilliant marketing. So what they did is they had the bear look just like the Coca-Cola. There's going to be a lawsuit over this. There's got to be copyright infringement somewhere. But they had the bear that looked like the Coca-Cola bear. But he was doing a blind taste test. By the way, I did one of those when they first started them at a mall in the 1980s, where they would have you go up and do a blind taste test, Coke versus Pepsi. Well, the bear picks Pepsi.
Then
the whole commercial is about him and his bear friends picking Pepsi. Oh my God, it was like, there's got to be a lawsuit there somewhere. So I thought that was pretty good from a marketing point of view. It was brilliant. There were a couple that I thought were really, really, really bad.
It was the year of the celebrity in all of these commercials.
I don't know if they're doing it now just for the clout of being in a commercial, or they're just going to pay tons of money. I don't know.
I watched the Chris Hemsworth talk about it, and he was like, "Yeah, I'm in a Super Bowl commercial. I've always wanted to do that." And
there you go.
Chris Hemsworth.
Maybe that's why, because you're right. Every celebrity, A-list celebrity, was in commercials.
Yeah.
The Ritz Crackers one with Scarlett and John Hamm. Oh my God, that was terrible.
I didn't really get that one either.
I just watched it and went, I don't know what it's about. I just don't know. And then, did you see the Liquid IV one with the toilets?
Singing toilets, yeah. Yeah. And that was kind of my whole thing with, like, there was the prostate cancer one and then the urine one. It just seemed like there was great messages. Really interested to know there's a finger-free prostate test.
Yes.
It was the butts relaxing at the end. There was just some gross, like the pee and the
butts. I think they went a little far with those.
Yeah.
Bodily fluid commercials.
But we're talking about them, so.
Yeah, but do you remember what they were for? The only reason I knew that was Liquid IV is I looked it up this morning.
Oh, see, I buy Liquid IV, I was like...
I had no idea.
In my Costco shopping list.
There were some that you just got to the end and went, okay, that might have... I just don't know what it was for.
Just a lot of celebrity things. And I do love anything with Chris Hemsworth and all the ways AI can kill you. I thought that was pretty good.
Yes, might be true too. All right, let's move on to the actual horse talk. Well, we did talk about horses. Budweiser won. So there, that was horses.
Yeah, I'm good.
From the podcast to the barn, here's some hidden birthday wishes to keep you warm. Hope it lasts all year long. Happy birthday, friends.
Well, happy birthday to our auditors, Roxana White and Marie Cornell. We wish you both a very happy birthday. If you, too, want to get your birthday wishes read, head on over to horseradionetwork.com, scroll down to the middle of the page, and you can become an auditor for as little as $3 a month.
Become our friends!
Yes, and join the fun that happens in the auditor room. Also wanted to thank my friend Dave Jackson, kind of my mentor in podcasting. He had me on his show, Ask the Podcast Coach. I was filling in as co-host over there. It was a lot of fun. We had a great time. So thank you to Dave.
Well, I'll give you some good news before I get to the exciting weekend that I have. I want to congratulate the new owner of Miami Moonlight. They picked up him today and he is now going to Arkansas to be there. That's the horse that I found at the track in a claiming race and got them to adopt it out to Nelda and Horse and Hound, and then had him here. I've had him for like months and finally he was ready to be adopted, and he got adopted by a woman who's just gonna absolutely love him. And I told her, I said, you put him in your will to me. It's like, put him in your will to me. And the best news ever. Are you ready for this? Are you sitting down?
Okay.
I sold the cribber. The cribber has now moved to a new home.
Did they know that he was a cribber?
Of course they knew. What do you think I am? She was like, I don't understand why he's so challenging. I was like, he's a cribber. And she was like, why don't people like that? I'm like, you'll see.
Has she ever had a cribber?
Yeah, actually, I said I can give you its cribbing strap. And she's like, no, I've got tons of them. I have a bunch of cribbers at home. So actually, it was like I said, there's a home for every horse and a horse for every home. And it just, I happened to find the right woman. And so he's gone up to Kansas to be to crib in Kansas.
with cribbing friends, apparently.
With friends, they're just all going to sit around and crib together.
Well, you know, they say they learn that from each other. I don't know if that's true or not. But in this case, you don't have to worry about it. They all do it.
You don't have to worry about it. Yeah. You know,
she has all metal fencing, by the way. There's no wood fencing on that entire farm.
I'm sure she's prepped for it. But the one thing that I talked to a lot of people about was that, you know, adult horses that live in fields and everything, they won't learn it, but the babies will learn it. And I was like, I cannot let Butters become a cribber.
Oh, no.
So I kept him on the other side of the farm. He and Groot were out together and like, y'all just be horses. My baby's gonna be on the other side of the farm because I did not want that.
No, you have high hopes for this baby. So you texted me on Thursday night, put me in a lurch, and said I'm not gonna be there Friday morning. So I hope there was a damn good reason for that.
You were super happy that I totally called you.
By the
way,
don't ever text me at 10:30 at night again, by the way.
What was I going to do?
You know what? I always turn my phone off at night. I turn my text, because I always get stupid spam texts now. And I that was one night I didn't. And then you texted and woke me up. So
Sorry. Well, there you go. So I have been horse shopping and my search is very broad. Okay. All I'm looking for is, this is how Larissa describes it, my friend. She's like, all you're looking for is a horse that you're excited to go down to the barn and throw your leg over. And that's basically it. The only thing is it has to be a gelding. Other than that, age, training level, it doesn't matter. It can be a 18-year-old horse that knows Kenner half passes, or it can be a 5-year-old with a lot of potential that's a lot of fun. I any breed, like I've looked at all these breeds. And so on Thursday afternoon, I saw this ad for this Grade Andalusian down in Austin. And I said, oh my gosh, he was so pretty. And he was being ridden in a really nice covered riding arena. And I was like, dang, what's up, bougie? Like, this is nice. And so I messaged her and she said, oh, you know, I was like, price and age and all that. And she told me his age, which was supposed to be 5. And he was, 25,000. And I was like, ha, that's out of my budget, but thank you so much. And then she texted me back and she's like, the owner is desperate to sell him. He'll take any offer. And I was like,
and you said he was Heinz 57. He was great. or what was
he? Was great, but he was and looks like an Andalusian. Okay. So, you know, it's Thursday. Chad has to go back to work on Saturday. So I've got less than zero time to just basically, I called Larissa. I was like, you want to go to Austin tomorrow morning? And she's like, okay. So we booked flights to Austin. Stand by, you know.
There's a reason you two are friends.
Yeah. We're crazy. So, but in the video, there was a lot of stuff that I didn't see that I always want to see, but I had only this very short window to fly down there and back because Chad went to work yesterday. So I had Friday and Saturday. That was it. So, okay. This is what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to fly down to Austin. I texted this girl. She told me, you know, a lot of stuff about him. So we hop a flight, we fly to Dallas, get on a connecting flight, fly down to Austin, get to Austin or rent a car. And then I've got to drive 45 minutes to this farm. I drive up to the farm. And the farm that was in the video is not where I went, Glenn. Not at all. Turns out the video was taken at the Woodlands Equestrian Center, which is like on the other side of the state. So really far away, a venting facility. But I thought it was like some bougie place I was going to go because this horse is $25,000. So, okay, I walk in. I'm like, hey, Jamie Nutwigs. She's like, I've got him in the barn. And I walk in and there's this Andalusian tied to the fence. And I was like, oh my God, he's so pretty. And Larissa's like, he's so pretty because he's so pretty. And I go to walk up and he like lurches back, like totally afraid. And I was 20 feet from him.
How big is
and
he?
And she is.
Was he big?
He was probably 15'2".
Okay.
But he's terrified of me just walking up to him. And she was like, he's a little nervous around people, but once you get your hands on him, he's fine. So I kind of like take my time real slow, get up to him and put my hand on him. And I run my hand down his legs and she was like, oh, by the way, don't touch his back feet. You can't touch his back feet. And it was right then that I turned around and I said, I'm sorry. Are you trying to sell a horse for $25,000 that you can't touch its back feet? Well, I mean, he's like, and so she started messing with him a little bit more. And I was like, I'm just going to stand back and watch this. And he was so scared of everything. And something clicked in my head. And I said, is this horse from Mexico? And she's like, yeah, how did you know? And I was like, is this a Mexican dancing horse? And she's like, yeah, he's been here a couple months and I've ridden him three times. So he's so much better. Glenn, do you know what a Mexican dancing horse is?
I always thought they were like the Pasifinos, but
a Mexican dancing horse, you can don't YouTube it, okay. But basically, they snub these Andalusians up to the post and they just whip their legs until they start passaging. And they get them it's so unbelievably abusive. What some of these people do, every Mexican dancing horse I've ever been around has this same demeanor of like, everything is the worst and I'm terrified.
Well, I think and if so, somebody beat me, I'd be feeling the same way.
It's unbelievable what they do to these horses. And I was like, okay, hold on. So this horse came from Mexico 3 months ago. Is this terrified? He's great. So you don't actually know how old he is. She's like, I'm not going to look in the teeth. And I was like, and then you want $25,000 for this horse. And she was like, well, I mean, they'll take any offer. And I'm like, I bet. turns out the guy that owns the horse won him in a dice game. I got that gem.
You're making that up.
I am not. This stuff doesn't happen in real life, okay? At this point, I've been up since 4 o'clock in the morning to catch my first flight to get down to Dallas, to then catch a flight and run through the airport, to then catch a flight. Austin,
she didn't tell you any of this on the phone, did she?
None!
Aren't you glad you didn't have to pay for this trip?
Oh, God. So at this point, I'm like, she's like, I'll ride him for you. And I was like, okay, I got to see this. Yeah,
watch this happen.
She gets on the horse. She has to pin it in the corner because he's so scared. She climbs up on the mounting block and he just takes off. And this is what I missed in the video was I did not see any walking. and I did not see transitions. But again, I only had like 5 hours to make a decision to hop on a flight to get down there because Chad was going to go back to work and I wouldn't be able to go see him otherwise. And it was like this great deal, this beautiful horse. By the way, I looked at his teeth and he was 11. So, you know, was not five. Mm. So
it's always 11. Double. It's always double, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. But they always say five or seven, you know. Yeah. No, he's 11. So anyway, so she's on this horse and he is just running away with her. And Larissa's like, are you going to ride this horse? And I was like, undecided. So she rides the horse and he's like, basically, he starts cantering and she just acts like she meant to canter. And she's going in these circles and comes back over and he's like huffing and puffing because his level of stress was just through the roof. And this horse would not walk. He doesn't walk. And she brought him over. And I was like, yeah, I do want to get on. And Larissa looks at me like, what are you talking about? I'm like, I want to get on. I want to get on and see if I can make a difference in this horse. Not that I want this horse. I'm not going to pay $25,000 for this monster, but let me see if I can at least help him a little bit. So put him in the corner. She holds on to him. I get on, but I get on a lot slower and he doesn't take off. Then I'm like, okay, you can. She was like, do you want me to lead you around? I was like, this is not, you don't say that to somebody who's trying to buy your $25,000 horse. Do you want me to lead you first? And I was like, just turn us loose. It'll be fine. Cause she's a lot. So the horse, of course, then takes off and I put him in a circle and I start just working on getting him to relax. And in 5 minutes, I have that horse walking around on a loose rein. It was awesome. But of course, I'm not buying this horse because who spends that much money on a horse like this? And so I just went over to her and I was like, listen, this horse needs 3 to 6 months of this, of just handling and being taught to relax. And by the way, like she didn't have me sign a release. She didn't ask me anything about my riding. I was like, this horse is going to kill somebody. This horse is going to hurt you. And he's going to hurt some unsuspecting person who comes out to ride him, or they buy him sight unseen and he goes off to them. And anyway, I was like, we had a hotel room for that night.
So glad to see you go.
Oh man, I don't care. So anyway, we had a hotel room for that night. So we put the horse away and I'm like, thank you so much. She's like, I'll take any price. And I was like, I said to her, I go, you don't want to hear my offer. And she's like, just try me. And I go, I don't know if I'd take him if you gave him to me. She was like, oh, okay, well, and I was like, just so you know, somebody's going to get hurt. So anyway, if anybody's going to go look at an Andalusian in Austin, Texas, please call me. I will let you know what's going to happen. Anyway, so we get back in the car and we're driving away and Larissa's like, oh my God. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe this has happened. This is not real life. So we're heading back to our hotel and I was like, screw it. Let's go back to the airport and see if we can hop on another flight. So then we turn around after leaving the horses. By the way, I stink because this horse has not been bathed ever. I mean, it's one of those smells of those horses that just have been like, yeah, sweating and drying off and sweating and drying off and rolling. Anyway, so you get in the car and we like book it back to the airport. I return the rental car and we hop in the airport. I'm like, okay, let's see if we can at least get back to Dallas and then Dallas, Oklahoma City. Mind you, I've been up since 4 o'clock in the morning. We hustle and I'm like, the next flight isn't for 3 or 4 hours. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, hold on. That flight's delayed. And we can get on it. So we sprint to the gate. And I'm like, book us on this ticket. You know, flying standby when you work for the airlines is always exciting. And they were able to get us on it. We made it to Dallas and then couldn't get any further. So then I just got the hotel from Dallas and we're back to Oklahoma City by 8:30 in the morning. I mean, we were on the road. I think this whole adventure was 25 hours of disaster. And but by the time I got back to the house, you were already done recording and all that. It was a mess. I didn't even know what day it is. All weekend, I've been like, what is today? I didn't know today was Monday. I'm just a complete disaster about this. And I think I went home and slept for the rest of the day.
You didn't wait for the other videos. But I get it, too, because, you know, horses sell and they sell. The good ones sell, right?
Quickly. Well, that's the thing is like 3 times now I've been really interested in a horse and they sell. So I'm like, move on it. They just listed it. Let's go. So, I mean,
yeah. Well, yeah, and if you were having to pay for flights, it would be a different story. But
No. Yeah. I just found a couple horses in Fresno, California. I want to go look at, and I'm like, send me these videos and I'll think about it. Well, I'm not doing that again.
Well, thank you to Erin. She filled in and we did a one-on-one on Friday. So it worked out. But so thank you to her for doing that.
We just got a full 10 minutes of disastrous yes. content for me
People
not
love your
being
disasters.
Here. I feel like you should pay me for that day because I was living content.
You know, well, one of the things you wouldn't have to worry about if you talk to one of our sponsors is your trailer floor. Head on over to wormflooring.com.
For the horse that's completely feral that I'm going to throw in my new worm flooring trailer and ship up here. No.
You wouldn't have to worry about them tearing up the mats, though. So WORM stands for We Eliminate Rubber Mats. That's right. It's a special kind of flooring they put right on the floor of your trailer. And they can do it with certain wood floors. It depends, though. You have to have them look at your trailer, mostly for aluminum floors. You know how you're supposed to really pick up your mats every time a horse pees in your aluminum trailer, and nobody does it, and then the trailer rusts and all of that stuff, and it eats away at it, and it's not good for your trailer. You don't have to worry about that anymore. Just go get your worm flooring in your trailer today. You'll never have to pick up mats again. You just hose it out or blow it out with your blower, one or the other, and you don't have to worry about your floor ever again. Check out wormflooring.com. Well, Jamie, I met our next guest at PodFest, and she covers an animal that many horse people also have. It's estimated that 30% of horse owners also have goats. I don't know in the 15 years of doing this show that we've ever talked about goats. So this will be a first.
It's perfectly appropriate because Ginger, who lives here on this house, has four baby goats in her garage right now that she's raising because their mothers decided they weren't worth it. So my life is a lot of goats right now. So I'm really excited to learn more.
This is perfect. Well, Dev has a podcast called For the Love of Goats. She also wrote a book called Raising Goats Naturally and is the creator of the Thrifty Homesteader blog. Hey, Dev.
Hi, it's great to be here.
Well, where are you located?
I am in Illinois, about 100 miles southwest of Chicago.
All right, cool. And were you always into goats from a little kid, or did this just happen?
Oh, no. I have a very interesting history. I grew up in a very traditional, you know, home. We did not have any goats, and I ate a lot of junk food and convenience food, and I had no idea that your health had anything to do with your diet. And when I got pregnant the first time, that was the first time I heard that. Like, oh, you mean if my children have a better diet, they might not be sick all the time like I was as a child? And so from that moment, we started looking at what we were eating. And our diet got more and more natural and then more organic. And then I thought, okay, the only way I'm really going to be able to eat the kind of food I want to eat is if we move to the country and grow it ourselves organically. And I knew absolutely nothing about anything related to farms. Like, I did not know, you know, I thought, oh, people have been growing their own food since the dawn of agriculture, so it can't be that hard, right?
All of us have tried gardens, let me tell you.
So we did, you know, I thought, like, oh, well, we need chickens for eggs. We need cows for milk and butter. And I wanted a couple of goats so that we could make goat cheese. And I had no idea. I didn't know anything about, like, oh, I need to look for goats that come from milking lines. Like, I just went out and bought the first couple goats I found. And they were not the best. And my herd grew pretty fast once my daughters got interested. And
wait. You mean you started getting animals and then your kids got into it and then all of a sudden the population explosion happened? That would never happen to me. That's so weird.
Yeah, I know. We're really unique like that.
You know, it's funny you say that because most horse people, the first couple horses they get when they don't know anything are the wrong ones too. So,
yep.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. So when people come to me for help and they're having problems with their first goats, it's like, you know, I did the same thing. Like, I wound up only keeping maybe 50% of the first 10 goats I bought. Like the rest of them, I was like, oh, this is not going to be a good milk goat. It needs to go to a pet home.
Well, let me ask you about that. So, you know, horse people tend to get goats for companion animals. That's the number one reason. And we did a poll with our listeners this morning, our Patreon community, and 15% said they had goats. But if I should have added another question that said I had goats in the past and no longer, because all the comments were I had goats in the past and no longer. So as far as, you know, horse people and companion animals, which is why most people get goats, is there a breed you recommend? That's the other thing. Most non-horse people think there's one kind of horse. There's like 500 different goat breeds from what I saw. There's a lot of them.
Yeah, there's a lot all over the world because it's a very popular animal and every area has got its own set of breeds. You know, like in the U.S., we've got 8 recognized dairy breeds, but we also have fiber breeds and meat breeds, and other countries have completely different breeds. Like, I was shocked to learn Germany has over 20 breeds of goats. Like, and it's a tiny little country compared to us, and they have more breeds. So the main thing is, like, as long, you need at least 2 goats, because goats don't speak horse and vice versa. And for pets, your best bet is actually to get castrated males, which in the goat world are called wethers. It's like the equivalent of a gelding in the horse world.
Well, that's the only thing Jamie has on her farm is geldings. So
yeah, if you don't want to breed them, there is no reason to deal with those hormones.
So that's kind of the same as horses. The intact ones are troublesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's not just like leave it to horses and goats. It's actually probably the whole entire world, but carry on.
Yes, I agree. That's true. We had an intern years ago and I always ask people at the end, like, what did you learn? And she, because we had all the animals, and she said, I've learned I don't like intact males.
Yes. Way to go, sister. You're educating the youth.
Yep.
All right. So I'm going to get my first goats to be a companion animal. What do I look for? What do? I have no idea.
Well, it's important to buy from a reputable breeder who is going to at least ask you a few questions about what you're going to do and how you're going to feed them and stuff like that. Because if you try to treat your goats like horses, they're not going to do well. They're very different. I know when my daughters used to have horses, and I know that then they were rotating dewormers with horses. And if you rotate dewormers with goats, that's not good, that you're going to wind up with dewormer resistance. So parasite control in goats is completely different than it is in horses. And your goats really are browsers. So that in many ways makes them fabulous pasture companions to your horses, because your horses are grazers and your goats are happy to go out there and eat all the floribunder roses and the poison ivy and the weeds that your horses turn their noses up at.
Well, that's a second reason was most common for horse people having goats, is to clean up the weeds that the horses won't eat, because horses are very picky and leave those weeds.
Yeah, exactly. So it's really important that you educate yourself about goats and their different needs, because the people who have the biggest problems are not the people who graduate from a golden retriever to a goat, because they usually, and not always, I just got an application yesterday from someone who did not realize there's a big difference. But people who go from like sheep, cows, and horses often think that goats are going to be just the same. Oh, we're just going to add them to the pasture and they'll be fine. And then they start having health problems. You know, like they'll have skin problems and they're like, why is that happening? Or the goat's foaming at the mouth or losing hair. And they don't realize it's because of the nutritional differences. So it's a good idea. Like, even if your goats are with the horses during the day in the pasture, that if they can at least be in a different stall at night, they can see the horses and stuff, you know, but if they're in a different stall at night so that they can get their own minerals.
Gotcha. And, you know, one of the negatives that were in the comments today from the listeners is they're so destructive. People didn't realize how destructive they were. I mean, I kind of think horses are destructive too, but goats especially. So what is your comment on that?
So there's a lot of different ways to define destructive. If they get loose, they will jump on your car and, you know, get on your front porch and poop on it and eat your roses and things like that.
Jamie, that's what you have to look forward to when these babies are grown up.
I'm like, there's many ways to define destruction. I'm pretty sure there's a pretty solid one way, and that is having goats like out and about.
Yeah, I mean, I had a man once who was just shocked. He's like, you mean we can't teach them to not eat my wife's roses?
Yeah.
No, that's like, that's no. Like dessert.
Yeah, that's like telling a dog not to eat a steak, you know, like if it's there, they're going to eat it. So the really important thing is that you realize that horse fencing and goat fencing are very, very different. And we experienced this firsthand because the farm we bought was previously the previous owner, they bred standard bred racehorses. And so we thought like, oh, this is fabulous. We've already got all these fenced paddocks and everything. So we're not going to have to do anything for fencing when we bring in our animals. Well, for horses, I think they had like three individual strands of wire. They were like a foot from the ground and a foot apart. And that's where you wind up getting little sayings like, for goats, fencing is merely a suggestion. Because it's like, yeah, I got Nigerian dwarfs, which are 2 feet tall. And I thought, oh, well, they're 2 feet tall. The first line is a foot from the ground. And the next one is at 2 feet. So they can't go through that, right? Wrong. They just take a look at it and they're like, oh, do I want to duck under the lower one or jump between the first and second one?
Now, what kind of fencing do you recommend for goats?
So we have Nigerian dwarfs, and what works best for them really is some type of a woven wire fencing, like field fencing. They do make specific fencing called goat fencing. And so if you've got Nigerian dwarfs and you're going to have babies, that goat fencing is great because the openings are really small. But if you just got, you know, like 3 or 4 wethers and you're not going to breed them, then the larger openings are fine.
Like what we call horse no climb fence, you know, the bigger squares. Yeah.
Yeah, that's totally fine.
Can they climb it? Like our fences are mostly, 4 or 5 foot high, and a lot of us have the no climb fencing. Can they climb it?
They don't really climb it. So for a few years, I also had La Manchas, which are a larger breed. They're a standard breed. They are closer to 2.5 feet tall at the shoulders and weigh 150 to 200 pounds. So they're like twice as big as a Nigerian. And the problem I had there was actually it was not with the does, but it was with a buck. And again, if you've got wethers, fingers crossed, this shouldn't be a problem. but if he wanted to get to the does, he would just go and rear up on his hind legs and land on top of the fence and smush it down. Because you know how it can accordion.
Yeah, that's why we put boards on the top of ours, because the horses do the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you've got the boards across there, then you're set. You are golden for all the goats.
So, you know, so you did say, and one of my questions was, one goat is not a good idea. You need to have them in pairs. I don't care how many horses or ponies you have, right?
Right. Yeah. Okay.
They need a buddy. And then the other thing is, two more questions. What's the number one mistake you see that anybody that gets a goat, when they get a goat, you go, oh, well, that's not going to work out?
Ooh. Oh my gosh. There's a lot.
I know there's that's why I asked you for one.
Okay, this is edited, so you can edit out my thinking time. Oh my gosh, what would be the top one?
I assume getting one would be the top one.
Definitely getting one. And, you know, I mean, this is not going to be a problem with your horse people, but honestly, what I see the most now on my applications is people think that a goat can be a horse. I'm sorry, the goat can be a house pet, like a dog.
Like bring it in the house?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, that is somebody who doesn't know much.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just got one of those applications. Wait a
minute. Hold it. Stop. Jamie, where did you say the four little baby goats were?
Yeah, yeah, they're in the house, but you know what? They're diapered. It's fine. Everything's fine.
That's a rental house she has on the property.
And I think you said they're in the barn, right? And you know this is temporary until they get a little bigger.
They're not in her barn. They're not in the barn. They're in the house, but they're mostly in the garage.
Garage.
She's having to give them milk and stuff. She's having to raise them and take care of them, and then they will go back to their farm. But she's got these babies for a friend of hers whose baby mama let him go, and it's a whole thing. Glenn, listen, it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're in the garage.
Going home, are they?
And they're contained in something like a doggy X pen or something like that. So they're not running all over the garage and bouncing on your cars. And
it's fine. You know what? I don't even go in there. I don't ask any questions.
That's right. There you go. That's better. All right. One final question. If a horse is a 10 on the scale of will they try to kill themselves? They're always a 10.
Good question.
How about goats? Are they also trying to kill themselves all the time?
Oh, you know what? They're worse than a 10. I'm sorry. They really are. I mean, it's just like, oh, here's another mistake too that like I made this mistake. You know, we just went to first of all, we bought a horse farm, right? So they had all these, there's horse hay feeders in there. And horse hay feeders are made for these animals with big heads. And usually on the side, they have a V. And
oh, yeah, that's a jungle gym for a goat, I would think.
It is bad because what happened was baby goats jump on their mama's backs. And so if a baby goat jumps on its mama's back and it reaches through into that horse hay feeder to grab a mouthful of hay, and then it slips off of mama's back, it hangs itself in the hay feeder.
Oh, geez.
Oh, God. This is the worst.
Yeah. Yeah, this is definitely the worst. And it unfortunately, that happened to two kids before we said we have got... Because the first time it happened, we're like, oh, well, that was bad luck. Like, it's sad, but like, that was just bad luck. And then the second... And then it actually took a few years to happen the second time. And after the second time, it was like, okay, we got to get rid of all the horse hay feeders. And put, you know, hay feeders in here that the kids cannot hang themselves in.
Well, of course, our version of that is horses getting cast in their stalls because they're, you know, because they roll over and get stuck. So, I mean, you know, it's just, wow. It doesn't matter what kind of animal, they're always causing vet bills. It doesn't.
I mean, to be fair, I think the next logical question is, where can we contact you to get goats? I mean, yeah. This has been a goat sales advertisement if I've ever heard one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, about half the people who send me an application do not wind up getting goats.
Well, you know, that's better because half the people that get horses probably shouldn't have horses either.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So my educational website is thriftyhomesteader.com. My goat website is NigerianDwarfDairyGoats.com. And then I've got the Goat Academy, which is where our Goats 365 members hang out and talk about their goats and all the fun things they do and how much we love them in spite of their quirkiness.
So I have one more question for you before we go. And also obviously the podcast, they can find it at any podcast player and it is called For the Love of Goats. So you can check that out on any podcast player. Did you ever get better at the growing of vegetables?
Yeah, we did. Okay. In fact, we got worse before we got better because we wanted our chickens to be free range. And we didn't understand that if your chickens are free range, your garden needs to be fenced in. So we lost a lot that first year. In fact, I kept wondering, why do we not have any red tomatoes? Like, there's so many green tomatoes, but there's no red ones. Because I didn't see that the chickens were eating them.
I love that you made all the mistakes and you're coming from experience with all of this stuff. Well, maybe towards spring we'll have you back on to talk about gardening because Jamie and I suck at that. So we try every year and every year we fail. But I appreciate you, Deb, and I'm so glad I got to meet you at PodFest, and I hope people go check out your show. If you have goats or you're looking at getting goats, I would advise you, just like horses, get educated first. Learn about them. There's a lot of different varieties. I was shocked when I looked that up this morning. But we appreciate you joining us.
Oh, thank you. This has been fun.
You can enjoy your favorite equine videos all in one place with Ride TV, the ultimate equine streaming platform. The newly relaunched Ride TV has all the series you love, like Mini Horses and Ridiculous Ranches, plus top-tier training videos and event footage from Horse and Rider On Demand and BarrelRacing.com. Live the action, learn from the pros, love the stories. Subscribe to Ride TV today for only $19.99 to see where your ride takes you. Visit RideTVGo.tv to subscribe.
Hey, Jamie, remember last week we talked about the terrifying flesh-eating worms that are spreading across the United States? Do you remember that?
Yes, screw worms.
Remember how there was one case in Florida and we talked about it and we were like, okay, I'm glad they caught it and all that. And we were real sensible about how we've been covering this story.
Yeah.
Well, the Daily Mail is not so sensible about how they're covering this story. I saw the headline and I was like, oh my God, I got to see this. And the headline is flesh-eating worms spreading. And I was like, oh my God, there's an update. I got to check this out. We need to cover this.
And you clicked.
A terrifying flesh-eating parasite is pouring into the United States from across the border in Mexico. That was the first line.
Oh.
Now, keep in mind, people, there was one at a quarantine facility in Florida that they caught. That was the headline. The parasite, commonly called the New World screwworm, lays hundreds of larvae in the wounds of animals. That's true. And humans, apparently. And hatch within hours and consume their victim's tissue.
Oh.
That's as dramatic as it gets. These infestations can lead to deep, painful wounds to become infected and often result in death if untreated. Governor Greg Abbott issued a declaration of disaster on Tuesday as the screwworms endanger the state's booming beef industry. That makes it sound like they're already there and they're eating the beef. They're eating the cows. None of that's true. This was one in Florida.
That's the thing, is I was wondering how this horse got from Mexico to here, but it came 3 months ago and there was like a window where they quit. Yes. They let animals in. Right now, if a horse wants to come from Mexico to the U.S., it has to fly to Miami and go through quarantine.
And they're looking for it now.
Yeah.
So, but I love the first line was, a terrifying flesh-eating parasite is pouring into the United States.
Just think of a bucket of worms being poured out.
Just keep in mind any press you read. You just have to doubt anything you read. And that wasn't, AI might have written it. I don't know. But it was on the Daily Mail, which is not known for its, top-notch reporting. But
yeah,
still,
I was going to say, click here.
It was in my Google Alerts. Jamie and I get Google Alerts for every article in the world that says horse in it. Well, there you go. And I was like, I missed something.
All right. Nope, you didn't.
So Consumer Electronics Show is one of the biggest shows. In December, we have the rodeo people that are in Vegas. And then in January, first week of January, the technology world descends on Las Vegas. Literally hundreds of thousands of people come in for this. And it's all the big tech companies, the Sonys and the Disneys and everybody that has tech, TVs and everything you can think of. Well, there's always animal tech that is there. So you want to hear some of the things that they introduced this year?
I can't wait.
Okay. How about
I saw a Super Bowl commercial for the Ring doorbell camera locating dogs.
Yes. Yes, that's true. There's the Rescue Retriever. It's a specialized smoke detector that specifically listens for frequencies of animals in distress, like high-pitched whinnies or frantic barking. So it actually listens for that, and when the alarm triggers, it sends an emergency alert to your phone to let you know that there's something going on. Now, if that was the case, every time Scooter whinnied in the barn, I'd be getting alerts all night long.
Y'all have heard Chili's whinny. Yeah. I mean, my God.
Let's be setting this thing off all the time. I don't know. This one, I kind of have my doubts about this one actually being effective and not sending a million false alarms. How about something called the Satellite? And it was the winner of the Best of CS Awards. And it's a lightweight dog wearable. Okay, so your dog wears this. And it uses AI to build a behavioral baseline of your animal's movements and sleep. It's designed to catch micro shifts, tiny changes in how an animal moves or rests that indicate pain long before they start limping. So I could see this maybe working, but with your particular group of dogs, I kind of think you'd be getting false readings on this one all the time.
You know, Homer has a tracker that tracks his itching and his sleep and all that. Like, I feel like they already do. Yeah. It's unbelievable, actually. Like, I can click on this app and it tells me where he is because he tends to ignore me at times and wander off. So it totally lets me know where he is. And every once in a while, I'll be like, Homer's itching is elevated, and then I'll be like, oh, it is time for his, you know, flea pill. It's crazy.
Wow. Okay. Well, there you go.
So, but that's not this one. There's no AI tech to build behavioral baselines or something.
How about the Tombot Jenny? Actually, I can kind of see this one until I actually looked at it, a video of it, and I was a little creeped out. So it's not a real animal. It's a $1,500 robotic Labrador puppy.
And what?
Yes, it's designed for seniors or people in environments where they can't have live animals. So if they're in a nursing home or whatever, it has lifelike textures, like it feels like a dog. It has heartbeats and it has realistic responses to touch, actually using AI. So it actually can hang out with you at your home, come over and get snuggled and petted.
Oh my God, it's so cute. I just Googled it. Oh.
It is. It's kind of creepily cute, actually. This one was interesting. I thought it was really cool.
To be fair, okay, so like when my mom was starting dementia and all that, one of the things my brothers thought would be a good idea, I had no part of this, I wanted nothing to do with it, is they wanted to get her a puppy because it would help with her mobility, a Yorkie puppy. She's always had Yorkies. So they spent like $1,000 on a Yorkie.
But she doesn't and of course, to take care of it.
Yeah. I mean, this was earlier on. I think she just didn't remember. So the dog was never potty trained ever, this puppy. And it was a complete disaster behavior wise because it was.
Well, Jenny would have been perfect for her.
This would have been perfect. And this is $1,500. So it's like barely more than a puppy that you would purchase at this point. Oh,
you know,
my gosh.
I'm kind of thinking that I'm changing my mind on this one. I think if I had this in the house, I don't have to worry about it peeing. I don't have to put it out.
Yeah.
When we go away, I can just unplug it. It's perfect.
I love this idea. That's so cool. And it looks like a little gold retriever puppy.
And you know what? It doesn't eat. It doesn't need a vet.
If they forget to walk it, it's okay. This is actually a brilliant idea.
Yeah. Okay. We endorse this one. We need them as a sponsor. Hey, Tombot Jenny, if you want to sponsor us, let us know. We can get behind this one.
Hold on. My phone's ringing right now. Wait. No, that's not.
The Garmin Blaze we've talked about with Karen on the Endurance Show. She uses this and loves it. It's the equine tail sensor. And it's fairly new, but it tracks heart rate and stride and gait and all of that stuff. Skin temperature. A lot of the endurance riders are using this now. So she highly recommends the Garmin Blaze. That is the Fom Pet. I love these names. You press it against your pet's abdomen for 15 seconds, and it uses sensors to calculate their pet condition score to see if they're fat or not, basically. This is the fat detector.
Because we wouldn't know that.
Yes, I know.
By looking.
I didn't say anything about horses. I think this is meant for dogs, really. And I kind of think that the people who have fat dogs know their dogs are fat, and they just don't do anything about it. So I'm kind of wondering if they're going to sell a lot of these or not. There's the Peanut Cat Egg One.
What the heck is up with these names?
I know. It uses RFID tags to only... So what this is a pet feeder, okay? It has different compartments of a pet feeder. So if you have cats, let's say you have two cats, but one eats all the food and the other one never gets any food. This happens all the time with dogs too, right? The first one was made for cats. I assume they're going to do dogs too.
They have these for horses. And in Europe, these are well used. And I know that Debbie at Flag Is Up, the California Horse Center, has been working on getting these installed.
So it'll only open the container for that horse.
It's like a box stall, and the thing beeps when it's their time for grain, and they wear a microchip collar. And they walk up to it, and
the door opens and lets them in, but it won't let anybody else in because their microchip hasn't gone off. So they walk in. I mean, I was like, oh my God, my horses will kill each other, like trying to get in because they know the other one gets in. But it, apparently it works really well and you just train them how to use it. And again, in Germany, this is like a huge thing. These smart feeders, and they walk in and their feed comes out and their supplement comes out. And once they finish eating, the next door opens and they walk out.
That's pretty cool. You know, we could actually put Scooter out with other horses if we had that.
I know, right?
There's the BirdFi Bath Pro, and that is a bird feeder. It's a solar power. No, it's a bird bath. It's a solar powered bird bath with built-in 4K panoramic camera. It uses AI to identify the species of bird and automatically creates a highlight reel of them splashing around. And it has a built-in de-icer for winter. So if you want to watch your birds take your outside birds take a bath, that's what this is for. I don't know how many people are going to buy that.
I bought the Bird Buddy for my father-in-law because he's like a super bird guy. And basically birds land on it and there's a camera in there and it takes a picture of them like reaching in to eat. Oh, yeah. Well, it sends pictures of these birds to your phone.
Does he like it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? He's like a bird guy and he's in his 70s. This is like the greatest thing ever.
One of the other cool things that's happening too, and this is mostly being used on larger farm operations and things, is a lot of times with cows and milkers and things, they would have RFID tags on them. So when they go into the milker can track how much milk and all that stuff. They're moving away from that and going into face ID for animals. I'm not kidding. They take a look at the cow's face as they're walking in, and they know which cow it is. And it's kind of the same thing as the RFID tags. But yeah, so face recognition for animals is now becoming a thing too.
Yeah, to me, some of these things just seemed a little extra. Like, they're just a little extra.
I'm not arguing with you. And are they inventing a solution to a problem we don't have? That's the other question.
Exactly. Like, yeah. There's, like, the tail sensor's cool, and the dog, that the puppy that could be a robot puppy for a senior, that's great. But the rest, like, there's kind of already all of these.
Yeah, just reinvented it a different way and add AI to it. I think the big thing at the show this year was AI, adding it to everything. All right, let's see. Do you want to see what kind of problems everybody has right now?
It's really, it's a lot.
It's time for the weekly look at your equestrian first world problems. This ought to be good.
Yes, it's the time of the month where we let you know what sad tales of woe all of your fellow listeners are having. And basically, one Monday a month or Sunday a month, Glenn or I will put up a post on the Horses in the Morning Auditor's Facebook page and ask, what sad things are you dealing with? Because if you have an equestrian problem, it is an equestrian first world problem. That's just the way it is. So if you want to participate in this, how do they become an auditor, Glenn?
Just go to horseradionetwork.com, click on the auditor banner in the middle of the page.
Okay. We're going to start with Meta. She says, I learned to trim my own horse's hooves a couple of years ago because I felt like I couldn't count on people around me. And now I'm not showing up on time either. That's great.
That might be the best one we've ever had.
My farrier is the worst. Oh, I'm my farrier.
Okay, you win the award for today. I don't care what the rest are.
That was very honest. Oh, there's some really good ones today. So Carrie said, I had a fancy imported dressage horse jump out of a 4'6" fence, fully tacked up and in perfect form. Now I'm trying to convince his owner that he needs to be a jumper. Lemonade out of lemons. Melanie says, I'm in Aiken with my friends and our horses, and we're trying to make plans with my friends who live here. And then there's other friends that came down here, and there's so many, I'm running out of time. You need to join the ranks of us that have like two friends. Matt says, this is funny. My bobcat came back from the dealership getting fixed, and so I'm really happy. But while it was gone, I put my Kubota in its spot in the garage, which has been really nice. And now I don't know which one to keep inside, and now I have to build a shed for all of them.
Do you know what my husband just did?
He's running out of garages too. You have like 7 garages and I know he's running out.
We have like the 2-car garages just for his car and my car. But then he bought that like FJ Cruiser and then bought me that Beetle, which we call SpongeBob. And there's no place. So he just bought a garage and had it put on the property. So now we have a whole nother outbuilding on the property for the cars because hailstorms here. It's like a ruiner. So yeah. So I get it, Matt. You're just going to have to buy another garage. Let's see. Ursina said, I want to buy a new saddle pad for my new horse because it is withers and my old pad isn't cut right. And I made a goal to sell some tack before buying more. And nobody's even asked about the items I listed.
Everybody's just trying to get through the winter. They're not buying tack right now.
Yeah. Send it all to me. I'll take a look at it. Gwen says her horse Banjo is sound and doing great and trying so hard to use his body correctly and use his hind end. But now in order to progress, I need to work on my seat, but fixing his problems is way more fun than fixing my own. Amen.
I feel like we've been through this Banjo. We've been through Banjo with Gwen for a long time.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Faye says, and this is just a common problem, and it just means you have to go shopping. She says, someone gave me a free horse, but I don't have any blankets or tack that fits him.
Oh, and this time of year is not a good time to buy blankets. They're all gone, especially mm-hmm. this year.
Yeah, I think she went on to say that. Yeah, yeah. She can't find the right size.
Yeah, good luck.
Aaron says, I've decided to go all in on dressing my mare in mint colored tack. But the halter that I just got her isn't the same shade of mint as the lead rope.
Mint's kind of random, too.
That is pretty random. Kayla says, I'm going to have to go to the feed store because my Chewy order won't be here before my little Timmy runs out of his special old man grain. Oh my God, you have to go to the store because it's not delivered instantaneously.
We are so lucky to live in Ocala because Chewy has a huge warehouse here. So I'm telling you, awesome. We order it and it's like they immediately put it in the car and drive it over here.
That's so cool. So fast. Robin says, my new barn has 11 boarders and 19 students that come to take lessons. So I'm making money, but it takes so much of my time.
You never have time for your own horses when you have a boarding training facility.
Melissa says, and this is a happy sad. Melissa says, I lost 60 pounds, but now I have to buy all new saddles. That's happy, happy, really.
But she'll keep the old ones. You know, it's like you have two sets of clothes. I have my fat clothes and my skinny clothes because I've gone up and down so much. I have both sets and I will not get rid of either set because every time I do, I need the other set.
Gotta have your fat girl pants. I know I have some. I'm like, ooh, today's the day for fat girl pants.
And you want to throw them away because then you feel like you've succeeded, right? I've done this. I'm committing to staying thin.
Yeah. And then you're like, damn, I wish I would have kept his pants. Yeah. Now I got to go buy some fat girl pants.
Yeah, exactly.
I have like different riding pants that I'm like, what type? What am I morning skinny right now? Or am I skinny?
Yeah, how am I feeling today?
I'm just morning skinny. I'm going to put on the fat girl breeches. Oh, thank you, everybody, for sending in your equestrian first world problems.
We appreciate it. We have a full week of shows planned for you this week, so we're glad that you're joining us. I wanted to end, we'll have a post show for you today. I wanted to end the show, though, with Ross Stevens. Ross Stevens is the founder and CEO of Stone Ridge Holdings Group, and you know the Olympics is going on right now, right, Jamie? You do know.
I am aware because I'm loving Snoop Dogg at the Winter Olympics. It's
I haven't watched, but I watch the highlight reel every day because I really don't want to watch 100 skiers go down the slope. So I watch the highlight reel and Snoop Dogg's been the best for the whole highlight reel.
So great. I love that he's like an Olympic ambassador. Why not?
He is the best thing that's ever happened to the United... Well, recently that's happened to the United States for sure. But anyway, this Ross Stevens has donated $100 million to the United States Olympic and Paralympic Committee. And what they're doing is each athlete that competes this year, no matter how they do, are going to receive $200,000 out of this.
That's so amazing.
But he did it. Why he's done it wisely or unwisely, depending on how you feel about it. He isn't paying them up front. You don't get the $200,000 right away. You get $100,000 when you hit the age of 45 or 20 years after you're at the Olympics, whichever comes first. So, and then the remaining 100,000 will be given as a guaranteed life insurance benefit for your family when you pass away.
Wow.
So he was very thoughtful about how he did this, which of course, you know, some people just like it right away. But I mean, the committee, the United States Olympic Committee, they actually do award medalists 37,000 for gold, 22,000 for silver, and 15,000 for bronze. So they do get paid. And of course, there's endorsements and all that.
But I've got to say, like, if you handed, so my brother snowboarded.
Yep.
And if he was like that good and 21, he went to the Olympics and you handed him $200,000 when he got gone. gone before he even lands back in the U.S. So, Ross Stevens, well played.
I think that's why they did that, too. I'm sure that's why you did it. It's the same reason you do a trust for your kids if you have a lot of money, right? So, same reason. All right, let's head out of here. Thank you, everybody.
All right, bye. Spay, neuter, geld.